This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Today's the season opener for the NFL, the Dallas Cowboys and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Going up against Saquon Barkley, you're going up against that Eagles offensive line and their running game, and a team that likes to run the ball, a team that likes to bully you a little bit and push you. And so that right there is something that Kenny Clark helps it. He helps your linebackers, which still are missing DeMarvion Overshown. He helps keep you clean. But it's not like he is going to be some magic fix.
That's Bobby Belt from 105.3 The Fan.
Ahead of the season opener, Jerry Jones spoke to CNBC about the popularity of America's team, and he says he makes sure everyone is talking about the boys.
I get criticized because if somebody's looking around here, even here with the Eagles, if they're looking away from the Cowboys, I'll say, hey, come on, look over here. Look at the Cowboys. Now, that'll get you in trouble a lot of times. It does.
He expects a rowdy crowd and a tough game, as his team is an 8.5 point underdog.
So how are the Cowboys fans feeling?
So when I asked, most people predicted this for the boys.
Same thing they did last year. Well,
what is that?
They're going to lose.
This fan thinks maybe they can be competitive.
I think they can take the wild card, but I don't think they win the division.
Do you think they can win a playoff game? Is that too much to ask?
He didn't think they could, so I asked a follow-up.
What's the problem with this team? Is it, why can't they get over the hump?
Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones is the problem?
Jerry Jones is the issue with the entire team.
And listen to the attitude with this fan.
Let's just say that I won't be disappointed because I'm kind of used to it.
This guy sounds like he's already singing the blues.
So this year's not going to be that great of one for me.
Are any of them great?
Ouch. From the 24-hour news center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Well, there's another big event around here, State Fair of Texas. The opening day is coming up September 26th, as we hear from KRLD's Eric Bushman. This year, there are some new safety policies you need to know about.
There will be new signs reading, "See something, tell us about it, partner." The familiar take on "see something, say something," State Fair style. A QR code will direct security concerns to staff on site to investigate. There will also be a new clear bag policy. State Fair of Texas Director of Security, retired Dallas Police Deputy Chief Jeff Cotner.
We're limiting the largest size to be 9 by 10 by 12. This is a change this year. Now, there are going to be some exceptions, and exceptions would be for elder care bags, for parenting bags, medical bags, or for child care bags.
The fair will continue enforcing the weapons ban that has the attention of both the state attorney general and the Texas legislature. The fair says they will follow the law, but outside of that, few comments given pending litigation. At Fair Park, Eric Bushman, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
And we're talking about the weapons ban. It's staying in place at the state fair. This came after a shooting 2 years ago at the food court, and Russell Scott happened to be there.
A lot of people were falling down. They were rushing in. We ran into the Coliseum.
Now, their director of security, Jeff Cotner, says the security is no different than other major gatherings all over the country.
When you think of all of those scenarios, and weapons prohibition is part of everyone's fabric. It's part of the DNA in planning those events.
Even though a judge tossed the attorney general's challenge to the ban and the legislature didn't pass any kind of bill that requires private companies to allow guns on government land, the fair says they're going to follow the law.
Well, we're here. First game of the season, Cowboy season, laying out right in front of us. To preview it is Fred Davis from 105.3 The Fan, from The Fan After Dark. Fred, how you doing today? And how do you think the Cowboys are going to be doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Awesome. Appreciate talking to you this morning. Look, it's football. We're here, finally. I'm excited about it. Look, I think the Cowboys are going to lose tonight, but let me just put a little caveat there. I think the key for tonight is this. All right, first of all, you're going into Philadelphia. It's their ring banner, whatever, you know, whatever they want to call it. So, and you know, this team's won two out of the last three Super Bowls. So let's not pretend like this isn't a really good football team that they're going up against tonight. And on top of that, you've got a brand new regime in the Brian Schottenheimer. What I'm looking to see tonight is this. I want to see how organized is this team tonight? How disciplined is this team tonight? Is it one of those deals where, you know, you continue to see, you know, penalties, broken coverages, busted plays, that sort of thing, you know, bad communication on the offense. I get it. It's week one. So, that you know, you got to leave a little margin for error. But that's the biggest takeaway for me tonight, because I want to see, does this look like a better coach football team? Nobody outside of the star thinks that the Cowboys are going to win this game today. All right. And losing tonight is not a death knell for the next 17 weeks of the season. That said, if you go out and you play this one football and you lose, because guess what? Philadelphia, as of September, 6th, 7th, is the better football team. You can live with that. You can build off of that. But if you go out and just get embarrassed from kickoff to the final whistle, then we got a little bit more to talk about.
But so many penalties are on the offensive line, though. And this offensive line has not been together in its entirety for the preseason. You've got new starters across it as well. I think that's too tall of a task to ask for a cleanly played game across the offensive line tonight. Although I hear you, that would make me feel a lot better.
Well, I mean, you say new. I mean, think about it. You got a right guard that's new in Tyler Booker. Okay, you drafted him in the first round, 12th overall. He came from Alabama. All right, who's his coach? Nick Saban. All right, guy that preached discipline and you know playing the right way. So I would expect him to be able to handle the moment. You got Tyler Smith, best guard in football. Cooper Beebe, year two. Then you got Terrence Steele, who I'm one of the few people that actually thinks is a decent right tackle. So to your point, I mean, I get what you're saying on one hand, but you've got three new – you only have two new starters. And really, technically one, because if Tyler Guyton does play tonight, which it sounds like he might, I'm less concerned about him as far as his health and more concerned about him in the fact that he just wasn't that good last year. All right. So, and then on top of that, you put in the fact that he missed the entire training camp and your first game back is going to be against the Philadelphia Eagles, maybe one of the best defensive lines in all of football. So I hear what you're saying. I'm not as concerned about that aspect of the newness of it. Again, you've got three plus. Oh, by the way, you've got two guys in Clayton Adams and Cooper Riley, who are pretty dadgum good when it comes to coaching up offensive lines. So, again, look, are you going to have one or two? You're on the road. I totally understand that. But look, if we're coming away where this team just continuously false starts, that's a bigger issue moving forward.
All right, let me ask you this now. I know you don't think the Cowboys are going to win, but what would it take for them to win and shock the world? Is it what's going to have to happen?
Turnovers.
Okay.
Look, here's what's going to happen. It would have to happen. A, your offense would have to play flawless. All right. Yeah. Which look, I think the offense will play well tonight. I really, really do. That said, I think you would need a lot of turnovers. Okay. You would probably need at least two, maybe three, and then you would need a special teams touchdown. If that happens, all right, if you turn Jalen Hurts over two or three times, remember, this team played Philly tough in the first half both times last year, and then they got boat race in the second half. So if they can play them tough, all right, hang around. Look, fourth quarter, if you're within a score, it's anybody's ball game, right? But you're going to have to turn them over a couple different times, and you're going to have to play really good football, and you're going to need to get a special team score, a scoop and score, somewhere outside of offense, an offensive score that's going to have to change the kind of flip the script a little bit for this Cowboys team. If they're going to pull off the upset, I think it's 31-23 tonight. I think the Eagles take care of business. But for all my gambling fans out there, that would cover the spread. It's 8.5 as of last night. Biggest spread in football in week one.
Let me ask you this then. You're looking at the whole season here. How many wins do you think the Cowboys end
10.
Up with? 10 wins.
10.
See, that's
10
the same.
Wins.
I said 10 the wins. Same thing.
10 wins. 10 wins. Look, I'm drinking the shoddy Kool-Aid. I'm a Brian Schottenheimer guy. Like I said, I am convinced with what they've got. Look, Eberflus, horrible head coach, great defensive coordinator. All right, I like the coaching staff. And again, that's what I'm watching tonight. I just want to see how disciplined and organized this team plays. And to be honest, real quick, I'm less concerned about tonight as I am week two against the Giants.
Yeah, you don't want to overlook
that. You lose the Giants, now we got a problem.
That's absolutely right. That is Fred Davis from 105.3 The Fan. He's on The Fan After Dark joining us now. Thank you so much there, Fred.
The second special session down in Austin, it is over. They brought the gavel down yesterday, and now the question, will there be a third? And there's some unfinished business still. The House and the Senate both went sine die yesterday on the heels of a number of Republican victories, not the least of which was the redistricting bill. But also the Senate passed a bill. It's going to make it more difficult to ship abortion pills into Texas. We've been hearing about that this morning, and also the controversial bathroom bill. Even one making ivermectin, the livestock dewormer, available over the counter to anyone who thinks it might help with COVID or anything else. Other important items are still on the burner. They're going to bring in Kayla Guo now with the Texas Tribune. She has been covering this story down in Austin. Hey, let's start with this, though. I was curious about the flood safety bill. That was ostensibly, before redistricting popped up, that was the purpose of any of these special sessions. Where does that stand right now?
So the legislature passed a series of bills meant to strengthen the state's flood infrastructure and disaster response. So that was a bipartisan effort that did come, you're right. They only passed it after they passed the redistricting map. And so that, you know, Democrats were crying foul about that, saying that flood response should have been put first, but they managed to get it done by the end of the second special session. One bill got left on the table just because the two chambers had slightly different approaches to it, and they didn't quite get to an agreement at the very end. So that might be a reason that they come back for a third special session, just to, you know, get that done pretty quickly. But I don't know that we've gotten an indication that that will happen.
So the flood safety bills that did pass and are headed to the governor's desk, what would they do?
So one of them puts funding towards Kerr County and other places that were impacted by the floods. Other ones, you know, strengthen how emergency response works and make sure that they have certain guidelines and training in place. They've also passed a bill to make camps in or near floodplains safer. So those camps had sort of gone by and didn't have really strong regulations or rules around what they had to have in place if they were in or near a floodplain. So they passed a bill that would address that too.
One of the bills I thought was interesting, I thought it was going to probably pass, was that hemp bill. It came out of the Senate so quickly, but it stalled in the House. Where does THC stand in Texas?
So they've gabbled out without having done anything on hemp. So right now the status quo still stands. People can continue accessing THC consumable hemp products in their stores. There are still no age limits on who can buy those things. That was, again, that market sort of came in inadvertently after 2019. But yeah, like you said, the ban stalled out in the House. There were not enough votes on the floor to get that done. Top Republicans were negotiating at the very last minute, trying to get a compromise out, but ultimately couldn't reach one. So as of now, they haven't passed any new legislation on hemp, so the market is still the same.
Can't imagine Dan Patrick is too happy about that. And property taxes, I guess nothing at this point on reining in property taxes?
They did pass a big package on property taxes during the regular session, there was another measure put on the agenda for the special, and a last-minute disagreement between the House and Senate spiked that bill. The House wanted to go a little bit further and crack down on local spending in cities, but the Senate didn't quite agree with that, so that measure did fall by the wayside this special session. But again, they did do a big property tax measure during the regular session.
So we are expecting a third special session, right? Or is that up in the air still?
I don't know if we can say that. No, I don't know if we can say that we're expecting a third just quite yet. It's possible, again, that they get called back to hash out that last flood bill, but I don't think we've gotten any indication from the governor yet that he plans to do that.
Interesting. Kayla, listen, thank you very much. Really good stuff. That is Kayla Guo. She's with the Texas Tribune with us here on KRLD.
All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.